You're listening to the E2C Network, podcast by Auburn fans for Auburn fans. Brought to you by the Auburn Uniform Database. Visit them at auburnuniforms.com.
War Eagle, everybody, and welcome to Boom Tracker, your source for Auburn Tiger recruiting news and updates, part of the E2C Network. I'm your host, Dallas Hamm, and I'm joined by my friend, my brother, and the other host of this show, Mr. Justin Hostler. What's going on, Justin?
Hey, thank you, Dallas. Thank you, everyone, War Eagle. Not a lot going on this Thursday. It's almost like a quiet before the storm. I heard there's a big storm headed down to Florida this weekend.
Oh, boy. That's what I hear, too, and I hope it is. I hope that we go down there and do some mighty fine work on the Florida Gators this weekend.
Yeah, and I think we're going to, and I think we'll pick up on that a little bit later in this episode. We've got some huge news that we're going to be talking about today. Sharif Cooper watch is officially over. Dallas, how have you been sleeping at night?
I just want everybody to know that the night that he committed, it was my night to stay awake. I was kind of dreading it because, you know, we've been doing this for a while now, and I was tired of losing sleep, and I know you were too. Every time it came around to it being my night staying up, I was just like, man, if he could just commit. And, you know, he comes to campus and by George commits on the night that I was supposed to stay up. So I slept mighty fine last Friday night, buddy.
I believe it. It's been a rough couple months with our sleep schedule, making sure that we're keeping up on that pretty much around the clock. And yeah, like you said, it was last Friday night. I was just waking up. I had the night shift the night before. It seems like almost every time we record, you're on the you have night shift on that night. But it was a late Friday night, and he decided to go ahead and make it official. And he is joining Bruce Pearl and the Auburn Tigers for the 2020 class. I'm excited, Dallas. I am excited. I was jumping around. My girlfriend was, I think she was terrified. She didn't know if it was a good thing or a bad thing, but it was awesome. We've officially have the highest rated recruit that we have ever had since they've been tracking recruiting rankings since, I believe, the early 2000s. He surpassed our guy, Mustafa Heron, who is the currently at St. John's, the slasher. He transferred after the 2017-2018 season. It was awesome, though. There was a bunch of guys in the locker room hanging around. And, I mean, there's even some guys who their career at Auburn is going to be over before Sharif ever plays a game for Auburn. But you could see how excited they were. And it just goes to show how – you know, how great of a player Sharif is. And it says a lot about where our program is headed. So I'm excited, man. I cannot wait.
You know, we were out to eat Friday night, and that's when I saw the news online. And I was like, I was almost wanting to like jump up and shout in the restaurant. And Riley was with me. And I know Riley doesn't know who Sharif Cooper is, but I was like, guys, Sharif Cooper committed, like Sharif watch is over. And They're kind of like, huh? You know? And I'm like, this is a big deal. Like, this is a big deal for Auburn basketball. And, you know, I think that moving forward, this is only going to be, you know, huge for Auburn basketball because, like you say, some of these guys, they're not even going to get to play with him, but they're super pumped as well. He is the biggest prospect that we've ever had. And you know, we hope that he's sticks with his commitment. You know, there's always that possibility of him, you know, undoing that commitment at some point. You know how that goes. But I really do feel strongly about Sharif in terms of his commitment. I feel like he will stay loyal and committed to Bruce Pearl and our program. And, you know, he's just got all the tangibles to me to be a superstar at Auburn and even in his pro career one day. You know, he's a consensus five-star. He's the number 18 overall player in the country, according to 24/7 Sports, the number 2 point guard and the number 2 player in the state of Georgia. And ESPN has him ranked at 17th overall in the ESPN 100. You know, just got limited height, Justin, but he's got tremendous quickness. His body control is fantastic. He's very strong with the basketball. Uses both hands. Ambidextrous player and really accurate one-handed passer as well. And you know, some players like that, man, they just, I don't know, the impact that his recruitment and his commitment makes on some of the other guys in this class that are trying to decide where to go. Let's talk a little bit about that impact that his commitment makes on not only Auburn University, but also on some of these other top 100 players that we're trying to go after. I mean, let's talk about that. Guys like Jalen Green, Jamin Brakefield, Greg Brown, Cliff Omarui. And what do you see in terms of that going forward in terms of Bruce Pearl and his staff trying to bring some of these guys in?
Well, yeah, we talked about it on the last episode. It's kind of like the BC episode, before Cooper episodes. And now we're in the AC episodes after Cooper is committed. So we talked about it last episode, but I think that he's, you know, it's going to be like a domino effect. And right after he committed on Friday night, he was, you know, immediately turned into Bruce Pearl's right-hand man as far as recruiting goes. And he was, you know, calling for arms and calling for everyone else saying, hey, Cliff, Jalen, Jamin, Greg, I want all of you coming here playing with me. And he's a guy, like you said, he's ambidextrous. He's great with either hand. But when you watch his tape, when his highlight tape, and you just watch him in games, like it's crazy. The guy at his age is able to see stuff before it happens, and he knows exactly where he wants to go two or three moves ahead. And so I think that some of these other guys that we've talked about a lot about, Jalen, Jamin, Cliff, can you say his last name one more time? I love hearing you say it, and I know everyone else does. Cliff's last name?
Omarui.
Yeah. And Greg Brown, like, those guys all know how unselfish Sharif is and how Sharif can make other players better. You know, when you talk about a quarterback of an offense or a good point guard, someone who's able to get everyone else involved, those other guys know that Sharif is that guy. And so, like I said, I think it's going to be kind of like a domino effect. And especially, like, if you follow any of these guys on Twitter, first of all, do everything you can to refrain from tweeting at recruits, but definitely follow them and keep up with them because they're funny guys. Like, they're good kids. And, you know, just as soon as he committed, he was like, hey, like, I want you guys to come play with me. And he was like on it right from the get go. And he's like, guys, come play with me at Auburn. It's going to be special. I just love seeing it. It's awesome, man.
Out of these four that we mentioned just now, who do you think has the highest shot of saying, hey, I'm coming, I'm going to play for Bruce Pearl, I'm going to play with Sharif Cooper? Who do you see as that guy?
I'm going to go with Ben, and with Ben's logic here, Ben King of the E2C Network, and I'm going to just try to speak this positivity. I'm going to just try to speak it into existence. And I think that maybe the guy who was with Sharif on Friday and this past weekend visiting Auburn, I think Jalen Green, the number three overall player in the 2020 class.
Absolutely.
He had some great things to say about Auburn and his visit. I think that what I took the most from what he said, he mentioned multiple times that a family feel and a family vibe is what he's looking for in his college experience. Let's backtrack a little bit. There was some rumor over the summer that Jalen was going to test the waters of playing overseas in Italy, Australia, maybe a couple different places. And his father, I think it was early August, came out and said there was never, that was never in the books for Jalen. Jalen's going to be playing college basketball. And a family vibe is what he's looking for and what he wants. And he mentioned several times this past weekend that, you know, after talking with Coach Bowman and our great athletic director, Alan Green — I love Alan Green. I got to meet him in Dallas after the game, after the Oregon game. He's just awesome, man. But Jalen got to meet him, and he said that you know, multiple times that he had a great feel, and it's just a family vibe. And everyone, I think, listening to this show, Dallas, you know it, that Auburn is a family, and it's, and anytime you're there, you feel like you're family. And so I want to say that I think we have a really good shot at landing Jalen.
I think so too. He would be my guy as well. I think that was kind of what would be the biggest boom, I think, in terms of, you know, the impact of this commitment from Sharif. You summed it up perfectly with just the fact that they were together for this visit. You know, Jalen got to see firsthand what the commitment looked like. He got to see firsthand what family looked like, because when Sharif committed, you saw in the video that was posted to social media, you know, the team and the coaches, they had a field day. I mean, they just loved on each other, hugging, just smiling, laughing. I mean, just hollering, hooping and hollering. And I mean, that's what it's about.
It was a similar vibe to like whooping Kentucky in the Elite Eight. You know, it was just, it was a huge moment in Auburn basketball. And, you know, it, and if, you know, speaking of booms, if we mentioned that Sharif is currently the highest rated player that Auburn has ever had committed to them. Now that could all change with Jalen, because Jalen is the number three prospect in the country. Number three prospect in the country. And if he were to sign, if that were to happen, Jalen would take over that new top spot. And I mean, just imagine that, having the two top rated players that we've ever had in one class, you know, and I don't even think that would, if that happens, that's not going to be the end of it. There's going to be even more. So, you know, with Sharif's commitment, that bumps us from, I want to say we were like outside of the top 50 in the team rankings. And with Sharif committing, that brings us all the way down to 20. And if with a guy like Jalen, that puts us right up there with the Dukes and the Kentuckys. You know, some of those top schools. And it's I said it probably five or six times since we've been recording that it's just a great time around Auburn basketball.
It is. And it honestly, it's game or it's program changing stuff. These guys making their commitment to Auburn, it changes the face of the program. Bruce Pearl has done just a phenomenal job of doing that himself, alongside his staff and some of these guys that have already committed to play for Auburn and have given their time to do so, as we've seen with the Final Four run this past season. I'm excited about it, Justin. I know you're excited about it. And just so glad that Sharif Watch 2019 is over.
Yeah, our watch has ended, and it ended on a good note as far as the Sharif Watch goes.
So let's shift gears now that we've ended our escapade for Sharif. I want to mention this before we start. I was able to go on No Huddle this week to help out.
You get in a little trouble?
Yeah, just a little. I want to say this, though. I got the warmest welcome from Ben King on that show that I think we could have got, and it was directed toward both of us for our show. Those guys love our show, Justin. And, sure, you know, I told them how much we loved No Huddle because we're kind of like brother podcasts. We kind of roll off each other with the whole football thing. So they just ranted and raved about Boom Tracker. And I told them, like, listen, No Huddle, y'all are some sharp dudes. Like, we love No Huddle. So I'm going to give them a plug really quick and just, again, tell them how much you and I really enjoy their work.
Absolutely, man. Ben and AJ do a great job over there. Every time an episode comes out, I listen right in, and they do a great job over there. I love the orange and blue shades that they wear when they talk. I love it. They do a great job over there.
They really do. And so we're proud to have them as friends. We're proud to have them as a brother podcast, as Ben put it on the show this week. So let's talk about football. We've moved into that. I want to talk a little bit about something today that I think gets overlooked half the time, but I think it is kind of a topic that has been kind of fired up within the past recent few weeks, and I'd like to talk with you about it today. I want to have a little bit of a discussion about tight ends at Auburn and their effect on the offense at Auburn. We have currently, I would say, three solid options at tight end right now. And that doesn't even include the H-back, J.J. Wilson, who I think is another sharp guy who we can really utilize. John Samuel Shanker is the number one tight end in our system. And then behind him, we've got Luke Deal and the younger brother of Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. Tyler Fromm is basically a tight end slash wide receiver hybrid. What do you think in terms of our offense and the tight end? Let's have a discussion briefly on the usage of the tight end at Auburn over the past few years and this year specifically.
Well, yeah, I think that the tight end position is what differentiates Gus's spread offense, spread no huddle offense from other spread offenses, is that we're able to utilize the H-back and utilize the tight end. And it's such a game changer when you have a guy who's able to do a little bit of both, who's able to pass pro and who's able to get out there and run some routes. And it's usually a guy who's got pretty good hands too. And we all know that a young quarterback, whether it be a freshman in college football or a rookie in the NFL, their best friend is a good tight end. So it's great when you're able to utilize those guys, and it makes it so much more impactful. And it makes such a big impact when you're able to do both of those, and you're able to, you know, like I said, pass pro and run some routes. I think what I'm really looking forward to is seeing some wheel routes. To break it down for anyone, a wheel route is when you run an out and then you curl it up the sideline vertically. We've seen it in Auburn in since Gus has been there. We've seen it utilized. We've seen Joyner has ran. I think Joyner at some point this year through the first four games, like that was the only thing that he has done.
Yeah, he had a big play against the Ducks in that first game. They ran that wheel route to Harold Joyner, and that was a really beautiful play.
Yeah, and I think that's something that Gus implements very effectively. And we've had some good tight ends under Gus and with Gene Chizik when he was there, and Gus was running offense, you know, with Philip Lessenkirchen, probably my top two or three Auburn favorite players that I've ever got to watch, and just a great guy. We all miss him. He was a great person. CJ Uzama, another guy who was able to take the wheel route into the end zone and had a ton of success under Gus with his offense. And so I think that, you know, a couple of these guys, Shanker and Luke Deal, coming back from an injury, we're going to see a little bit more of them. And man, Angry Gus he's been so dynamic with his play calling. I would not be surprised at all to see a lot more of the tight ends going forward.
Yeah, I hope we do, and because that's why I wanted to talk about this. You know, I think they've been underutilized over the past several years. I think ever since Lutzenkirchen left Auburn, and I 100% back what you said. We miss Philip. We loved him very much. He was a instrumental part of our program at Auburn, and we do miss him. It just seems like the tight end position has gone downhill a little bit, but the fact remains of what you said, that if we are able to use them, and if we do use them, they're a very big impact on our offense and what we're able to do. I mean, you think about how well a tight end that can catch the ball, think about how well they're able to stretch the field across the middle vertically. They can open up a lot of different options for the offense. And I'm very glad we're seeing more of that this season, because they've basically been non-existent over the past several years in Auburn's offense. And Shanker, talking about Phillip, to me, Shanker is Phillip Lutzenkirchen 2.0. He literally, to me, has the same skill set, same body type in a way. I mean, they're really similar in what they're able to do. It's just you got to get him the football. And so it was nice against Texas A&M to see, you know, the Gatewood pass to Shanker for the touchdown. I mean, these are guys that you can put in there and stretch the field across the middle, which is really what a tight end is designed to do in some cases. And we saw Luke Deal Saturday night against Ole Miss on the Whitlow touchdown run. I mean, in there to basically block him and I think it might have been JJ. I'm not sure who the other H-back was, but it was nice to see that him get some playing time because he's a freshman, as you know. But I say all that to say this, you know, how does it affect recruiting the tight end? Because honestly, a lot of people were scratching their heads coming into this last recruiting year because of the commitments from Luke Deal and Tyler Fromm. And they're sitting there wondering, well, why would you commit to a school that barely uses the tight end? Because we saw Jalen Harris transfer out this past season to go to Colorado. And I don't know if that was because of playing time or because of usage or what. I would think that a tight end would understand that, you know, a majority of their position is to block and stuff like that. But I mean, I say that although to go back to the point of how does it affect recruiting? And it seems like it really hasn't affected the recruiting that much. Because there's a guy that I'd like to bring up now who is very interested in Auburn. His name is Jeremiah Pegues. He's a 6'3", 260-pound, 4-star tight end athlete from Oxford, Mississippi, class of 2020. He goes to Oxford High School, and Larry Porter is his lead recruiter. As you would expect, Ole Miss is another leader for him out there, but he has gone on record himself to say that Auburn leads, and by a fairly good margin. I guess the question is, can they finish things off? And if they can, when might he announce that decision? People think that Ole Miss is a big leader, but in his own words, again, I say that Auburn is the leader, and by a fairly good margin. You've watched a little bit of this guy, as have I. What do you think about Jeremiah Pegues and what he can bring to the table for Auburn at the tight end spot?
Yeah, the first thing about Jeremiah, and we talked about this on episode one, Dallas, but we're name people. We love a good name. And Jeremiah, man, we're losing Jeremiah Denson after this season. He'll be graduating, and I'm sure he'll be playing in the NFL. He's had an outstanding start to his senior year. So we're going to have another Jeremiah in the works on the offensive side of the ball. But the thing that stands out to me the most about Jeremiah, well, first of all, when you watch his tape, you're gonna see a good heavy dosage of him running the Wildcat. So don't be surprised if in the next couple years we see a little bit of little Jeremiah Cat out there. Maybe we call it the Bullfrog Cat. I don't know. We'll think of something clever for it.
That's pretty good.
But yeah, we'll see what we call it. But you see a good amount of him running the ball from the Wildcat formation, which tells me one thing, and that's that his coach trusts him with the ball. He's got good hands, and he's able to make some decisions. I don't see him throwing the ball, but they put him in that direct snap formation, and they let him just do his thing. He is a bully out there. He pushes people around. He runs right through people. He's very aggressive. He doesn't lack any type of physicality that you would want in a tight end. So other than that, though, he's got great hands. He's making plays all over the field. You see him line up tight in pass pro formations, and then you see him spread it out and run routes. He's got great hands, like I said. And he's a guy, like you said, he's committed to Auburn. I think he's just about, 100% on Auburn. And I'm not sure why some of these, I know he's an Oxford guy, so I know Ole Miss is still in the mix, but just recently he's even said that Auburn is the leader, and it's far, far between Auburn and the next option for him. So I'm pretty solid on him. I think that he's definitely a guy that will be in the fold in the next couple years. He's an outstanding athlete. He's not the fastest guy, and that's okay. You don't need him to be. He runs great routes. He gets in and out of a route. Got good hands, and he knows when to get physical, and he knows when to put a move on someone.
I think he's a really sharp athlete. I think he can provide some really profitable depth for Auburn. And I just, you know, you say that about that he, you think as well that he is very high on Auburn? Because, I mean, you take him by his word. He says that. And I'll just be honest. I'm not here to throw shade, but Justin, to me, an Ole Miss can't compete with Auburn. I mean, not in terms of something like this. I mean, you know, I get it. They were very successful under Hugh Freeze and all that good stuff. But to me, something like this, Auburn, in my opinion, has more to offer him. And you know, he's made a couple of trips to Auburn with his family. He made a surprise trip, according to 24/7 Sports, to Auburn with his family. And that was his fourth known visit to the Plains. And I guess what I'm going to be looking for is I think he might come back in the month of November when some of those big games are happening with Georgia and Alabama, that, you know, we may invite him back.
Yeah, I could be mistaken, but I think he is scheduling an official for Iron Bowl weekend. And, you know, we talked about it before, but as much of that lemonade as we can get those boys to drink, the better.
Yep. Absolutely. Get them some Tumors lemonade and treat them to a good weekend in Auburn, Alabama. Let's move on to another position along the offense that you and I talk a lot about privately. And you know, it's a big need for the Auburn offense is that we need to bolster the offensive line and make it stronger than it already is now. We have currently five seniors on the offensive line that are starters. And you know as good as well as I do, when you got five seniors up there, you're going to have to need some plenty of backup coming in. And so we need to continue to build a solid front for our tailbacks to run behind. We need to continue to build a solid front for, as you've mentioned already, with the tight ends to pass pro. The first person I just want to shout out and talk about is Brendan Coffey. He's a 6'6", 270-pound offensive tackle from Butte College in Paradise, California. Three-star junior college guy. He's big. He's physical. He is the number two JUCO offensive tackle in the country. And I am led to believe, Justin, that Auburn has a fantastic shot at him. He has visited Auburn already, and from all accounts that I had heard from that visit, he had a fantastic time and he really enjoyed his stay in Auburn. He is a guy that I look forward to hearing from in the future, in the near future, hopefully, that maybe can come in alongside a guy like Killen Zaire that you've already mentioned in a show already, two JUCO guys that could come in and really help us out.
Yeah, and that'd be awesome if we were able to get, you had mentioned that Brendan Coffey is the number two JUCO offensive tackle. That would be so cool if we were able to get the number one and the number two. It's like, you know, we've got a bunch of seniors on the O-line right now, so that'd be awesome if we could get some guys with some experience out above high school right away who are able to contribute. And I think this is really cool because we're starting to see, you know, both of these guys out of California, so we're starting to see our boy Kenny Dillingham with some of those West Coast ties starting to pay some dividends.
Absolutely. It helps to have those ties, like you mentioned, and it's really good to see it because they'll form these relationships with these coaches, especially with Dillingham being such a young guy. That's incredible for us. I mean, it really helps us in terms of his age because he can relate a little better to some of these guys as well. We've already got a commitment from Javian Cohen. He is a 6'5", 275-pound, four-star tackle out of Central Phoenix City High School in Phoenix City, Alabama, just 45 minutes up the road from Auburn. Number 15 overall player in Alabama. I love this guy. I really love this guy. He is sharp. He is strong. He committed a few months back, and he is very solid to Auburn. I do not worry about him one bit. What do you think about Javion and the depth he will bring to Auburn?
Well, I think just that. I think that he'll bring depth. And I think that, you know, if needed, he's a guy who can play multiple positions on the offensive line. And he's a guy that can move really well. He's a really good athlete. And I know Coach JB Grimes loves that out of his big guys, his road graders out there. And I think that he will provide that depth. And I think that he could make an impact right away. But you know, regardless of when, of how long he sits in the ranks, I think that he's a guy that's going to contribute on the offensive line. He's, you know, when you see Gus and with Gus's play calling, we like to get those guys, we like to get those guys pulling and get those guys outside. And he's shown that he can do that really well.
Yeah. And he could start at multiple positions before it's all said and done in his time at Auburn. And that when he's able to do that, you know, it's going to only increase his pro football value at some point. So just looking forward to getting him at Auburn after he graduates from school at Central Phoenix City. Really excited about him. Let's move on to the defensive side of the ball. Let's talk about the defensive line. Auburn has, in my opinion, this year, probably the best defense in the SEC. And I think that they've got the best defensive line in the country. In my opinion, I know that sounds biased, but I really do believe that. That is actually, though, going to be a high area of need this coming season after this year's over in 2020. We're going to need to replace some fantastic talent up front on the defensive line with Derek Brown. He will go pro. I am also certain that Nick Coe will go pro as well as Marlon Davidson. I know we're going to need some quality depth there. And to be honest, Justin, that's one of the biggest things that I've hung my hat on with Kevin Steele over his tenure at Auburn is the depth has been fantastic. But I don't know that it has ever been as crucial as it is right now to continue that depth because of what we're losing. Some of the guys like Daquan Newkirk that are already playing snaps, Tyrone Truesdale, some of those guys are doing a great job providing depth right now. But we've got guys that we're looking at as of right now, as of guys who we would like to come and to see at Auburn next year. Guys like Amari Thomas, 6'5", 299 pounds, defensive tackle from Briarcrest Christian in Memphis. He's a 4-star guy. He's got 26 offers. And the schools that he is warm on right now is Alabama, Arkansas, our Auburn Tigers, Tennessee, Texas A&M, Ole Miss. 24/7 Sports seems to think he's 100% to Ole Miss, and I think he set his commitment date, according to them, for January 4th of 2020. I really like this guy. I like his skill set. Coach Grimes is his lead recruiter. He's very versatile. He plays offensive tackle as well. I don't know. I just, again, they say they think he's 100% Ole Miss, and he may be, but I just want the folks out there to know that he is somebody that I would like for us to keep an eye on. What do you think about Amari Thomas, Justin?
Well, Amari Thomas at, you know, 6'5", 300 pounds, like I said, he's close to Ole Miss, and so hopefully he'll be on a visit when he sees us play them. And, you know, he'll see what we've got going on. Coach Gardner is known to be able to turn out those NFL prospects. So, you know, he sounds pretty solid to Ole Miss. But I think that him seeing what we've got going on, I think that could go a long way as far as his recruitment goes. So I wouldn't close the books on him just yet. You know, he's a stud. It'd be awesome. We do have a lot of guys that are leaving that we'll need to replace this year. So, you know, hopefully he's a guy who's able to step in. On the defensive side of the ball, we've only got a couple commits in this class right now. And another guy who I've been kind of eyeing on, I know we talked about him before the Texas A&M game, is Donnell Harris out of Gulver Prep in Miami, Florida. Another guy who, you know, we talk about location and how a game in your state can mean so much as far as recruiting goes. So hopefully with that Ole Miss game and this weekend against Florida, I think that could go a long way as far as our defensive line depth.
Just a few guys just to keep an eye on, you know. He could be a big one. He's certainly somebody you and I are very keen on. Really quick, Auburn has a commit, Daniel Foster Allen, another guy up on the defensive line, 6'4", 250 pounds, strong side defensive end, in-state guy from St. Paul's Episcopal in Mobile, class of 2020. He's a 3-star, Justin, but from all accounts that I have heard, he might be called upon to play defensive tackle when he gets to Auburn, because he's so disruptive up front, and he's a playmaker and he's a hard hitter, and he could be really staunch in the middle of that line. And so I think that's something for us to kind of keep an eye on as we move forward with him, because when we're losing guys like Derek Brown, we'll be losing Tyrone Truesdale at some point, two huge guys that can fill a gap. We got to get that depth there, especially. So he's a big guy, and I really am excited to see his versatility.
Yeah, Daniel Foster Allen's is a great athlete. I think he's going to need to bulk up. I think that probably right now, to me, I think he's going to be more of an edge guy. But we're losing a lot up the middle, and so if he's able to bulk up a little bit and put a little more weight on, so he's able to go, one-on-one with some of those big offensive 300-plus-pound tackles that, he would be seeing down there, that could go a long way.
Right. I agree with that 100%. And then there's another guy that I'd like to share with the Auburn faithful. His name is McKinley Jackson. He's a 6'2", 327-pound, 4-star class of 2020 defensive tackle. You want to talk about a big'un now. George County High School in Mississippi, number 10 defensive tackle in the country. He's number 1 out of the state of Mississippi. And from all accounts, the intel suggests that we are very much in this race, Justin. In fact, we've been told, or we've seen at least one other school that's recruiting McKinley Jackson actually sees Auburn as the favorite. Alabama, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M are most likely the other teams to watch here with Jackson. He will probably give Auburn an official. And I believe that from what we've read on 24/7 Sports, that Auburn would like that to come after the season. And he doesn't plan to announce his decision until signing day in February, until that day. So how you feel about McKinley?
Man, it's another guy who I think he's kind of got that same aggression that reminds me a lot of like Nick Fairley, a guy who's just a bully down there on the line. And, all these guys that we've been talking about, Amari, Daniel Foster Allen, and McKinley, like these are guys that can just help us reload at the defensive line rather than, take a step back. Cause, as Auburn fans, like over the last several years, like we've grown accustomed to having a dominant defensive line. And so I think that we would sleep a little easier at night if we were able to land a guy like McKinley.
I agree 100%. That's good stuff. Been another fun episode, just kind of trying to fill everybody in on some of the guys that we've been looking at and discussing privately and stuff like that, who we really are excited about maybe coming to campus to see Auburn and try to have a good time, and so we could try to pull them in. You got any closing thoughts this week, Justin, for us?
Yeah, I think that this weekend's matchup, like we said, it's anytime you play in Texas, Florida, California, any of those big states for recruiting, it can go a long way as far as that goes. So I'm interested to see how this plays out, see if we're able to sway a couple guys in that regard. But as far as the game goes this weekend, I think our Tigers are able to go into the swamp and, knock them silly a little bit.
I think so, too. And talking about recruiting-wise, Auburn has quite a few players on their team from the state of Florida. So it's going to be interesting to see, how they come out ready to punch Florida in the mouth, because, guys like Shivers, Sean Shivers is a Florida guy. And so it would really, do my heart good to see him break a big one off Saturday. I really think that Auburn could come out into Gainesville and punch them in the mouth like they did Mississippi State. Me and Ben talked about it on No Huddle that, Florida just to us is probably the weakest team in the top 10. And I said it and I'll say it again. I just feel like they're a little bit mediocre this year. And after losing Felipe Franks, it's going to really hurt them, I think. So you got a score prediction for us for Saturday?
I don't know, man. I'm not a big score prediction guy, but I do think that we come out early. Since you put me on the spot, I'm gonna say that we put up about 38. I think it's gonna be like 38-24. I'm gonna go 38-24. I think Schwartz, another guy from Florida. Schwartz had a lot of guys on Twitter up in his mentions from and so I don't know if that was a good move on their part. Me being a track guy, I'm a huge fan of Schwartz. I think Schwartz has a huge game. I think Bo has a huge game. I think Jeremiah Denson, another guy out of Florida, has a big game again. I think he continues to just build on his resume. And I think our Tigers come away and leave this game sitting at 6-0.
Nice. I like it. My prediction was pretty close to yours. I've got Auburn 42, Florida 20. So pretty close there. And so that's a 22-point spread there. So I think that they cover the spread, and I think that is the way that they do it. Justin, tell everybody where they can reach you at on social media.
Yeah, guys, you can find me at WardamJustin, WardamJust on the Twitter.
All right, and you can find me at dham, 4AU, dham, the number 4AU. As always, brother, it has been a blast, and we look forward to the next time that hopefully, you never know when we might give out a resounding boom.
Boom. War Eagle, everyone.
War Eagle.
Before you get out of here, we want to remind you of a couple of things. Head over to e2cnetwork.com, our website where you can find everything that you'll ever need from us, podcasts, blogs, and even ways to help support the show. If you want to find individual episodes, you can download all of these on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. So until we see you again, I want to remind you of one thing, that here at the network, we believe in Auburn and love it. The only question remains, do you?